How many of you have seen yesterday's Democrat and Chronicle? Just wanted to show this to you. You can get God on the internet. Yeah. www.god.com. Right? You don't have to go to church. You just get on the old computer. And here is a Trappist monk. You know what Trappist monk is? He doesn't trap things. What he is, he's, ever hear of monk's bread? Delicious. Very good. Well, these monks are supposed to be they're supposed to be in seclusion. They're not supposed to talk. Reminds me of the joke I heard about the monks. They couldn't talk. I'll tell you that another time. Well, anyway, these monks, they're supposed to be in seclusion. One of them has a computer now. And he's all over the internet, whatever. And it says Trappist monks are using their website to share their faith with internet surfers. Now, I want to tell you this, and I'll just go over this real quick. You need to be real careful, because let me just show you who's on the internet under the auspices of God. It's the Abbey of the Genesees, which are these Trappist monks, have nothing to do with the Bible, don't care about the Bible. The Sisters of Joseph, the First United Methodist Asbury Church. You say, well, what's wrong with that? The Vatican has got a website. The Islamic Center of Rochester. And you know what they're saying? They're listing all that. And by the way, there's another one in here on the Hinduism. Baha'i Hinduism is on the internet. And they list all that and they say, God on the internet. Okay? So what they're saying is, if you want to get a hold of God, you can get a hold of God at the Abbey of the Genesee, at the Sisters of St. Joseph. You can get on and talk with some nuns out there and ask them some questions. You know what needs to be put on here? Some Bible believers. Some Bible believers need to be put on here, because some people are going to think that getting into the internet and talking to some monk or getting hooked up with the Vatican is good. It's not good. It's not good. As we said this morning, be very, very careful. You can be deceived by some smooth talk. So be very careful. I got a big kick out of that, and thought you'd like to hear it. www.god.com. I wonder if you put that on your computer, what would happen? Boom. You know. All right. Proverbs chapter 20. Let's settle down. No walking around. No going to the bathroom. No making phone calls. If you have to go to the bathroom, then go where you are. If you have to throw up, go ahead. Our team of ushers are more than happy to help you later. But don't be a distraction. We won't be long. Proverbs chapter 20, look at this. Verse number 1. God is so clear. And I'm glad 6 of you agree. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. God doesn't end there. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Father, I pray that you bless this message tonight. Lord, the world is trying to tell us one thing is all right, and you're showing us in the Word of God that it's wrong. Not only is it wrong, it's a sin. Not only is it a sin, but it mocks us. And Lord, I'm praying tonight that you would bless this message. And Lord, we'll be spending some time in the Word of God tonight, but the most important time is not now. The most important time will be invitation. And I pray that you bless this time of invitation to come. Lord, I believe that many of the verses that people are going to hear, they've heard before. But I pray that they would be put in the right context tonight, and that they would see the evils of alcohol. And Lord, I pray you hide me behind the cross, have me to say only what's honoring and glorifying to you, and we'll be very careful to give you the thanks and honor for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Let me ask you a question. Pro or con to booze, that verse is a what? Against, con. Do you agree with that? How many of you think that that one says you ought to drink? Is there any doubt in your mind at all? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being kind of, but 10 being definitely not, what is Proverbs 20, verse number 1? I'd say it's a 10. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Do you need anything else to tell you that booze is bad? We could close this right now and say, God, we believe you. You need anything else? How many times did God have to tell you you're saved? And did you believe him? That's all you really need. One time. Boy, I'll tell you, some people are hurting today. Today we are confronted with the problem of Christians believing that alcoholic beverage in moderate consumption is perfectly acceptable to God. I'm here to tell you it is not acceptable to God. And I'll tell you, I'm hearing some things from Christians. I'm hearing some things from men that are supposed to be teaching people what the Word of God says. I'm hearing things, in moderation, all things are okay. I'm hearing this. Well, we're missing out on a lot of good things in life. Well, we might be missing out on a lot of good things in life, but booze is not one of them. It's not one of them. I'm going to get some people mad. You're going to get mad because you got wine coolers in your refrigerator right now. Yeah. I bet some of you have a Budweiser hid somewhere, just in case who shows up. Now, if you do, get rid of it tonight. Spill it out, get rid of it. It's of the devil. You say, what do you mean it's of the devil? It's of the devil. It's no good. You say, yes, but Reverend so-and-so, I don't care about Reverend so-and-so, God says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If there's anything, you might say, well, Pastor so-and-so, he kind of is in the middle here, and Pastor so-and-so over there, and Brother so-and-so, and that ministry over there, they're kind of, I want you to know that in this ministry tonight, this pastor is against booze, is against drinking, and says everything that God says about wine and strong drink is true and it's real, and that's what we should follow. I want you to walk out of the church and I say, Kopaczewski is against booze. And that's what he is teaching because that's what the Word of God has to say. You know what? Let me just say this. Even if the Word of God said, a little is okay, I wouldn't drink it anyway. You know why? I've seen what it does. And so have some of you. So have a lot of you seen what it does. And I'm not going to go into the fellow that's in any detail that's an alcoholic. I'm not going to go into what it does to the home. I'm not going to tell you what I saw in my own home and in my own family. I'm not going to go into cirrhosis of the liver tonight. I'm not going to go into any of that. I just want to show you some things from the Word of God. Hey, what's your position? And what's the position in your home? What's the position in your home? What if somebody came over to your house and said, we're here for dinner. Have you got anything to drink? What would you do? What if they came in your house and said, you're one of those, don't do anything and everything is wrong Baptists, like you're taught. You can't have any fun anyway. I brought my own to your house. Would you let them do it? Would you let them bring it in your house? You shouldn't. You shouldn't let them bring it in your house. What is your stand? The safest answer is the scriptural answer, which is complete abstinence. You know what abstinence is? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Now, abstinence in reference to temperance is, you just kind of let a little bit in, just on special occasions. And like Dr. Ruckman says that this man here, hypocrite in the church, that's this guy. What do you got in your hand? Oh, Manhattan, martini, beer. Oh, I don't drink very often. Oh, just on special occasions. Just like you know, Groundhog Day, 4th of July, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas, birthday. When I get up in the morning, not very often, you know. So if you have temperance, you're going to say, well, I only drink a little bit, but then that thing gets wider and wider and wider and wider, and you say, no, no, that's not me. I've got it under control. What about your kids? What do they see? What do they see? Go to John chapter 2. Oh, I'm glad you're here, Pastor, because this is the very verses that say we are allowed to drink. After all, didn't Jesus make wine? You know what? Some of you are really wondering about this. Look at John chapter 2, verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Boy, there's doctrine in that. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Boy, there's a lot of doctrine in that. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. 6. 6 is the number of, after the manner of the purifying of Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. That's roughly about 9 gallons apiece. Now there's water in there. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim, and saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it, and the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man in the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. You say, hey, listen, Jesus gave us permission to drink by this miracle at the wedding feast. It's obvious here. Let me show you something. Just think of this. If you hold your hand in John chapter 2, and then open the Bible to where we just finished reading in Proverbs chapter 20, in Proverbs chapter 20, God says what? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Does God contradict himself? No. Why would God tell you in one place something is raging, and then in the other place make gallons and gallons of it and say, here, people, drink up. You know why? Because I don't believe he made fermented liquor in John chapter 2. I believe he took water and he made grape juice, or what they call wine there. And they say, oh, no, 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 that can't be. It says wine. Listen, at the end of this sermon, you can believe what you want to believe anyway. Isn't that what you normally do? Don't you believe what you want to believe anyway, no matter what the Word of God says? Listen, I got people sitting in my office, and they're there for counseling, and I say, don't do that. The Word of God says, don't do it. And they'll say, I'm going to do it. Don't do that to your wife. Don't do that to your kids. Don't do that to your family. Don't do that to your home. Look what God says. I'm going to do it anyway. To some people, you can show them in black and white what the Bible says, and they'll say, I'll do it anyway. So some of you tonight, you're going to hear some scripture, and you're going to see some scripture, and you're going to say, I don't believe it anyway. And the bottom line is, you've got to take this thing by faith. God gives you the opportunity. But I'm saying this, why would God tell you that booze is bad in one place, and then in another place say, go ahead, I just made gallons of it. Because it's not fermented liquor. It's grape juice. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Still 1 Timothy chapter 5. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, now if you're a drinker, you know this verse. This is your life verse. This is your license verse. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. There, that gives us license to drink. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. First of all, it says drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, for medicine. You know what I'll tell you? You know, and I don't put a lot of stock into what this doctor says. Anybody ever hear Dr. Adele on the radio? You know what they're saying? They're saying, well, you need to drink two glasses of wine a day, and that'll help this, and two glasses. And now they're even saying that it'll help you with women have a problem with breast cancer. You know what he said? And I heard this not 2 weeks ago. He said, you know what they found out? It's not the alcohol. You know what it is? It's something to do with the grape. It's something to do with something that comes from the seed of the grape. And you know what I'm finding out? You can go to some vitamin stores and tell me how many of you have seen this. There is some grape seed extract. Anybody ever see that? Where they're supposed to have some potential for healing. You know what? And they're not talking about booze. It's not talking about some kind of bubbly kind of alcoholic beverage. You know what he says? You know what's good for you? Grape juice. You know what you would do so much better if you drank more of? Grape juice. I don't get any kick out of that. You're not supposed to get a kick out of it. It's supposed to be there for your health. And God says over and over again, when you read this Bible, don't even drink that stuff. In fact, he warns us, we'll look at that a little bit later, we're not even supposed to look at it because it's a temptation. You may say, well, a little bit never hurt, and what's wrong with it? The United States of America has almost 10 million alcoholics and 5 million pre-alcoholics tottering on the brink of social helplessness. The financial loss to the nation is more than $1 billion annually. You think we could use that money for something else? How many of you today know an alcoholic? Raise your hand. Hold your hands up. That's most of the people in this room. You know an alcoholic. Isn't that wonderful? What a testimony. And I'm sure you're not all thinking of the same person. There's a lot of them around. How many of you know somebody that died from alcoholism? I know a bunch of people in my family that died of it. Isn't it wonderful? You know what I do? I'll teach Samuel in North Star Christian Academy. And when we get to that section there in Samuel where Hannah's praying and Eli accuses her of being drunk, then we do a study on not drinking or what's good about alcohol. And I challenge the kids. And I say, now I want you, as we do this study, to tell me something good about drinking. Tell me something good about booze. And all the years I've been teaching, I didn't have anybody that gave me any kind of reasoning for why you should drink. Last year, one girl gave me a reason. She says, it helps put you to sleep. And I said, is that the only thing that puts you to sleep? Oh, no. I said, well, then we don't need it, do we? You tell me something good that happens when you drink. You tell me something good that's a result of you being a drunkard. You tell me there's something good that results from you ruining your family and ruining your testimony and ruining family after family. I could tell you stories, make you cry tonight, and I'm sure some of you could give me some things that happened to you. Why do people consume alcoholic beverages? Here's why they do it. Here's why they drink. Here's why some of them will make a decision to just keep doing it. Popularity. I'm going to go over these quickly. If you don't drink, you're unpopular and ostracized from society. Hey, come on over to the office party. What? You don't drink? Ever hear that? Sure. Oh, they make fun of you. Oh, here's the Holy Joe. He doesn't drink. And that's why people are pressured into drinking. What are they going to think if I don't drink? You know what? That was my father's problem. My father had he had a weakness. His weakness was he believed that when he went to a birthday party in our family, he had to drink just to be able to talk to everybody else. You know what my dad did? I told you this before. My dad would drink before he went out to the party. He wanted to get high before he got there so he could communicate. And my mom says, why do you do this? Why don't you just... He says, well, you know, you got to drink. You got to... You got to. You don't have to. There was pressure. He thought he'd be popular if he did. And that's a wrong idea if you think you're going to be popular. Conformity. Everybody drinks. Why shouldn't I? How many of you don't drink? Look at this. A whole bunch of people here don't drink. Everybody drinks. Watch out for those statements. Everybody. Watch out, young people. Well, everybody does this. No, not everybody. Raise your hand when they say anything. I don't. I don't. Oh, they're going to make fun of you. They're going to make fun of you no matter what you do. And we try and be popular. We try to conform to what they're doing. Conformity is wrong. You don't do what the world wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do. Power. It gives courage to do the difficult. Can I say something? Dumb. Dumb. You know, it does give you a courage. But you know what it is? It's a false courage. It's a false courage. Yeah, people are going to hold up a gas station or do some hideous crime. They'll either drink or they'll go on drugs, and they're going to need some crutch to get them through it. I know people that drink just to give them power and just to help them to get through something. The problem with that is if it'll help you, you think it's going to help you through that, then you're going to need something to help you through the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and one day you're not going to be able to get up in the morning without facing a day, without alcohol in your system, to help you get through going shopping, or just getting up and facing another human being. It's not going to give you the power that you're looking for. Oh, I'll tell you why I drink. For friendship. It's antisocial and impolite not to drink. Dumb. Dumb. You know what? I used to drink. When I got saved, I quit. And by the way, I didn't quit the day I got saved. And it took God a while to work on me. But you know what I found out? I found out after I got saved, God gave me some friends that didn't drink. And we have fellowship where we didn't drink. I remember Dorothy and I were going to First Bible Baptist Church, and we got really messed up. We got friendly with the McLeods. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And we'd go to their house, and they'd invite us to their house after church on Sunday night. And I'd go, oh, wow. And Sheila McLeod, she is so, you know, she's just such a diplomat. You know. And we'd go there, they have a house full of people, and I'd say, you know, how do we act? You know, what do we do? And I remember leaving their house one Sunday night after we had a fellowship, and I said, you know what? I said to Dorothy, I said, we laughed and we had a good time. And did you see how stupid that guy acted and how happy that woman was? And boy, we just had a good time. And you know what? Nobody drank. Nobody drank. Nobody says, here, have some of this. Or nobody got sick or nobody threw up. We had a good time. Somebody says, well, you know, you've got to be friendly. You've got to be dumb. No, you don't. You know why I drink? Because it shows manliness. You're not a man if you don't drink. Teenagers get that. You know what? I'll tell you something right now. It takes more of a man to abstain from something than it does to say, okay, I'll go along. And I challenge you, you men that are here today, you young men, you teenagers, I challenge you. Somebody says, come on, let's see what kind of a man you are. You say, God's told me not to. I'm God's man. I'm God's man. And dads, you need to reinforce your sons to do that. You need to show them. You need to teach them. There's no manliness. Listen, I told you the story about the fellow puking outside the pizzeria. Remember that? You think those guys were men? You think I want my son to look like that guy? Whoa, whoa, whoa. You think I want that? Neither do you. And it doesn't show any manliness. Well, I just get together with the guys and do what? Get sick? It shows manliness. You know, I'm getting a little upset about it. And I hate this stuff because I've seen what it does. Oh, you know what else it does? You know why I drink? I escape. All my problems go away. Oh, yeah, for how long? Hey, listen, all your problems go away when you stick your head in the toilet and put the cover down. But if you ever want to come up for air, there's your problems again. You can go in a cave somewhere and have somebody bury you. All your problems are gone. Well, you come out, they're going to be there again. And you know what happens when you try to escape your problems with booze? There's going to be more problems that show up. More problems that are going to show up. That's how the devil works. Oh, I'll tell you why I have to drink. I'm shy. I'm shy. I'm quiet. I'm a wallflower. Good. Good. You hear what the Bible says about words and speaking and talking too much and being a blabbermouth? You ought to stay shy. Stay shy. It's better to be shy and alive than drunk and dead. Oh, I need something to loosen me up. No, you don't. You do not. Loosen you up for what? To sin? Loosen you up for what? To say things that you wouldn't normally say if you weren't under the influence? Hey, don't kid me. Listen, fellas. When you wanted to connect with some girl and you wanted to, you know, have relationships, what would you do? Take her out for coffee? Give me a break. What would you do? You're going to give her a drink. You're going to get her loose. You know what Dr. Ruckman says? Dr. Ruckman says, you get a girl to drink, or you get a girl to smoke, and she'll drink. You get her to drink, and she'll do anything. How many times did you say you want to pick somebody up and you went to friendlies? You know where they go? They go to the nightclubs. They go where it's dark. They go where the girls are sitting at the bar. And they're not drinking milk. Oh, it's just kind of social drink. No, no. It's going to lead to immorality. And we'll show you that. Oh, you know why I drink? With my business, that's the only way that we can close a deal. We just, let's celebrate and let's have a drink here. And we'll, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. That's the devil lying to you. Oh, we've got to have a business deal here. Let's have a drink. Let's toast this. You know why I drink? Because I have a mediocre life. I need to put some excitement in my life. It's so exciting to attend those AA meetings. It's so exciting to go to the doctor and have them show me the x-rays of my liver. It's so exciting to have to talk to my wife and say, listen, I'm not going to live as long as... It's so exciting to tell your kids, don't do what I do, do what I say. Isn't that exciting? Oh, but you're getting rid of all your problems, and you're just having such an exciting life, and you're overcoming your shyness. Here's why they drink, for loneliness. Loneliness. Strangers away from home, they drink. You know what you are? You're deceived. Devil's over there, too. The devil's out of town, too. The devil knows where you're going on your business trip. The devil knows when you go up to that college out of town. The devil knows what's over there. And you say, oh, you're away from home. Listen, everybody else is doing it. You're okay. Hey, listen, did you ever go to, and I'm not just saying this because I'm blowing smoke, I know this to be a fact. You ever go to Wegmans on the weekend? You people work at Wegmans. What do you see the young college kids buying? Okay, one can? Cases of booze. Now, what are they going to do? Send it home to dad? You're away from home. There's going to be some things going on. You know what? The devil's deceiving you. You know why I drink? Gives me confidence. I've got to ask my boss for a raise. Wouldn't that be something if one of your employees came in and asked you for a raise and he had liquor on his breath? Would you give him a raise? And you know what you do? You say, I need confidence, but then that booze, like we talked about before, develops dependency. Oh, I drink on social occasions, like weddings and retirement parties. Dumb, dumb idea. I go to weddings and I don't drink. By the way, you know what? This is another story altogether. I think I've gone to my last reception. Now, you have a Christian wedding, I'll come to your reception. But I'm sick and tired of going to these receptions. I'm sick and tired of going to the reception where I have to go. I'll go there and support my family and support my nieces and nephews and my cousins, and I'll pray for them as they're getting married. But then I have to go to a reception where they don't serve you dinner right away. They make you sit there for 2 or 3 or 4 hours while the bride and groom are somewhere taking pictures over there, having somebody draw their pictures, as far, you know, it takes so stinking long. And I'm sitting there listening to some kind of music that I can't even hear. And here's a drink, here's a drink, here's a drink, here's a drink, here's a drink. Oh, would you like a piece of cheese on a cracker? And that's the reception. And I'll tell you, I've been to my last one of those. Now, you're going to have a Christian wedding, and you're not going to have that kind of music, and you're not going to be pushing booze on everybody around you. I'll come. But other than that, I'll go to the church and I'll support them and pray for them, and then I'm going home. Because I'm sick of it. Watching everybody and seeing what everybody does, and it's a social occasion. I don't care for it. You say, oh, you're antisocial. No, I'm going to take a stand against some things in life that I don't approve of, and the Word of God doesn't approve. You say, oh, you're being picky here. No, I don't believe so. You just can take only so much of it. And you know what? Most of those people that you go to those weddings and those anniversaries, they're not going to step foot in your church for 5 minutes. So why do you have to go to their place? And how else are we going to witness to them? Listen, I'll tell you something. Through all my years of my salvation, I have never led anybody to the Lord at a wedding or at a retirement party or an anniversary. You're in their element. You're in the devil's field. I'll tell you why I drink, because I want to. It's my business. Look at Romans 14. You say, yeah, but Pastor so-and-so, I don't care what Pastor so-and-so. I am responsible for this flock. I am responsible for what comes out of this pulpit under the inspiration of this word and under the guidance of God. Romans chapter 14, look at verse 7. I'll do what I want to do. It's my business. Romans 14:7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dies to himself. Nothing's really your business. You have an influence on somebody. If I'm going to go in my room, and I'm going to crawl under the bed, and I'm going to lock the door, I'm going to shut the lights off, and I'm going to go under my bed, and I'm going to drink. Somebody will find out. Somebody will see it. Somebody will smell it. Somebody will know, and you'll have a negative influence on them. Say, so you think it's nobody's business but yours, but it'll affect somebody. What's God say about it? According to Proverbs chapter 20, according to God, only fools drink liquor. Look at that. Proverbs 20. You say, you call me a fool? I'm quoting the Word of God. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is... You say, yeah, but my father, if your father's drinking, he's a fool. You say, what if your kids drink? They're fools. See, does your wife... No, my wife doesn't drink, and if she takes one sip, she's a fool. Look what God says. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. According to God, only fools drink liquor. Get mad if you want. That's what God says. Look at Proverbs 23. And in verse 29. Proverbs 23:29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? You know what he's saying? Who hath woe? Oh, I got problems. Who hath sorrow? Oh, let me tell you about all my problems. Did you ever hear a couple of drunks next to each other just woo-wooing on one another? Who has contentions? What did you call me? They're fighting. Pick a fight. Who has babbling? Don't ever try and deal with a drunk. They babble. Who hath wounds without cause? They walk around and they act like somebody's hit them or slapped them or shot them or hurt them in some way. And there's no wounds, but they sure act like it. They sure act like it. Who has redness of eyes? Yeah, bloodshot eyes in the morning. Isn't that attractive, ladies? Isn't that wonderful? I used to have a boss at Kodak, and he was a heavy drinker, and he'd show up, and he used to make so much fun of the fact that he had a hangover. And he said, well, you're going to have to excuse me. I have to go to my office and pour some coffee in my eyes. That's how bad it would be, because he couldn't cope. He couldn't deal with it. He had to drink. Look at verse number 30. And God tells you who has woe, who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has babblings, who had redness of eyes. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Now look what God says in verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. You know what God says? Don't look at it. Why not? For the same reason, he doesn't want you men to look at naked women. The light of the body is the eye. You look at something, you want it. You know what they're doing to you on commercials, on television? They're making you look at that and want that. We had a missionary here, Brother Bob Murphy, going to Romania. He was preaching that night, preached a great message, and I said, bro, let's go out for some fellowship. He says, no, I'm not hungry. Not hungry. I said, come on, we'll just go out and have some coffee. He's all right. So we went to Perkins. He sat down. They handed him a menu. You know what's on the Perkins menus? Pictures. All of a sudden, he says, boy, am I hungry. He wasn't hungry until he saw the pictures. He ate more than me, and I was hungry. You know what happens? You go and look at that stuff, and your body says, you want that. And God says, don't look upon it, don't look upon it, don't look upon it. You know what you do when you watch the television, you see the beer commercials? They're wanting you to look at that and want that. Oh, you got to be a man. You know what? Don't get any better than this. Is that right? It doesn't get any better than this. You know, they're out there in the mountains, and they're just, you know, the sun sets, and the campfire is just going, and they've got a cooler there with the lobsters, and then they open up this cooler, and there's the whatever it is, the booze. And it don't get any better than this. Hey, let's just keep the film going. Keep it going. Keep it going. And it don't get any better than this. Here's my sixth one. Here, keep going. Don't get any better than this. Oh, this don't get any better than this. And they keep drinking and eating, and then the guys in the corner go, don't get any better than this. How come we don't see the films of the guys puking in the corner? How come we don't see the films of the guy, he's got cirrhosis of the liver, and when he throws up blood? See, that doesn't happen. Happened to two of my uncles. And it wasn't from eating beets. It was from drinking beer. How come they don't show you that on television? You see, I don't like this going on. You know, I got to tell you the bad things about this. You know why? Because there aren't any good things about it. God says, don't even look upon it. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. You know what those are? They're snakes. I got snakes where we live. Anybody have snakes in their where they live? I do. You know what? You're walking down the trail, and not the snakes where we live, but if you go up in the mountains, you know that there's rattlesnakes in the Adirondacks? There are. When you get a poisonous snake, you know what they do? You're walking down the trail, and you just happen to step on one or rile one up. You know what they do? They say, Mr. Person, you frightened me. Therefore, I have to defend myself and I will take every effort possible to hurt you back. So get ready, because I am going to bite you. Now, did you hear me? Now, that is a warning, and you have to heed my warning. Here it comes. I'm getting ready to strike right now. Is that what snakes do? You're walking. You're bit. You don't even realize what's happening. You're bit. You realize finally what's happening, and that poison is rushing in your bloodstream. You didn't even know it happened. That's what booze is. You say, oh, no, you know what will happen? I'll drink, but as soon as I see it starts affecting me, I'm going to back off. As soon as I start seeing it's going to affect my family, I'm going to stop. Is that right? The Bible says, watch out, at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. It affects you. The guys I'm working with, I mean, they're doing okay. Why don't you go to the nursing homes and check with some of the old guys there and say, how many of you guys used to drink? You know what you're thinking about? You're thinking about the 18, 19, 20, 24, 28-year-old guys that you know drink. Check out some 50, 60, 70-year-olds, if they're still alive, and see what their life is like. Verse 33, here's what it'll do to you. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. You're going to try and do some things and say some things that aren't right for you to do. Under the influence of alcohol. Isn't it wonderful? But pastor, I only drink wine coolers. That's what you start with. Or that's what your kids see you drinking, and if that's okay, then it's going to be okay for them to get into something else. Don't tell me. Look at verse 34. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. You take that ship, the top of that mast, and it's going, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Do you ever do that? Do you ever get drunk where, whoa, everything's whipping around? Terrible, terrible. They have stricken me, shalt thou say. I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? And you know the great thing about drinking? Once somebody gets drunk, they never drink again. No matter how much they puke, they never go back to it again. No matter how sick they get, no matter how much their head is spinning, no matter how bad they feel, they remember that, and they never go back to drink again. Why? Look what the last phrase of Proverbs 23 is. I will seek it yet again. My father would get so sick, he couldn't even walk. And on Saturday, he's going out again. Tell me what's good about it. Tell me what's good about it. Look at Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. I skipped a verse here in Genesis. Genesis 9, there's a calamity that falls upon Ham's son because of Noah's drunkenness. Hey, what did Noah do? Noah obeyed God. Noah's a man of... You know what the Bible says? Noah was a good man. He walked with... But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink. Are they out of the way? The priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. You know what it'll do to you, men? It'll cause you to err in your judgment. You say, what kind of judgment are you talking about? I'm not a judge. You won't be able to make decisions. You know why drunks get into accidents? Because it hinders their judgment. Everything slows down. Even your reaction time. Boom. Accident. It'll cause an error in your judgment. Look at Hosea chapter 4. Hosea 4. Here's a blessing. And in Hosea 4, look at verse 11. Look at this short verse, Hosea 4:11. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. See, some of you are still debating about the wine and the new wine and the grape juice. Stay away from it. And is that a poisonous snake, or is that really going to hurt, or is that a tarantula, or is that a brown recluse? You know it's wrong, and you know it's bad for you, and you know it's a bad testimony. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse 10. Well, look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Drinking hinders one from the kingdom of God. Drinking will hinder you from getting saved. You're not saved. Oh, it'll give you some kind of false hope. Why should I? I take pleasure in that. God, over and over and on, gives us. Look at, I didn't show you this one. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2. You say, well, I don't drink, but I kind of. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at verse 15. You see this? Habakkuk 2:15. Woe unto him, you there? Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink and putteth thy bottle to him and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Drunkenness. Nakedness. Drunkenness, nakedness. Habakkuk 2. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Yeah, I don't drink, but I want to be so. You're making a mistake. It's an error. Listen, reasons to abstain from alcoholic beverages. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. You see, boy, you're taking a long time with this. Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. I'd rather spend time at this pulpit than spend time in the hospital with you. I'd rather spend time in the pulpit now preaching this than to have to be in the office and trying to convince your kids that they ought to get off of it. And you know what? I believe that there's somebody in this room, God wouldn't give me this message, that there's somebody in this room, maybe there's more than one, maybe more than two or three or four that are involved in this, and you know it's wrong. And God hasn't been blessing you. And you need to make a decision against it tonight. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Look how sarcastic God is here. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You know why you ought not drink? Because you defile your body with that poison. Hey, why don't you go home tonight and drink some Drano? Oh, I'd be hurting myself. Drink a half a gallon of Janitor in the Drum or WD-40 or something. I'd be hurting myself. You know what the winos drink? Ever hear of Sterno? Ever hear of lighter fluid? You know what? Because the stuff they're normally drinking doesn't do it anymore. And you know what they're doing? They're killing their insides. Well, I would never drink Sterno. No, but you'll drink something that might be flavored with blackberry. That's alcohol. Oh, in that case. You know something? Because they poured in your coffee
You don't think it's booze. Oh, and she just had a little after dinner coffee. Well, how about this? Cream de mint. You know what cream de mint is? It's booze. Well, but Pastor, I drink NyQuil and it's strong. Yeah, but cream de mint is not NyQuil. And you know what? You start drinking cream de mint, and the next thing, you're drinking a Manhattan, a martini, or a gin fizz. Because, hey, just, you know what it does? It graduates you. You know what? Nobody ever got to be an alcoholic with one drink. You know any alcoholics with one drink? It went on and on and on and on. You defile your body with poison. Look at Romans 14. Look at Romans 14. Look at verse 21. Romans 14, 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. You know what? I'll show you a verse in a little while that says it's okay for me to drink. But I might cause him to stumble. Can you think of somebody else besides yourself for a while? And when you drink, you might be causing him to stumble or her. Or them. But I heard that Pastor so-and-so and Brother so-and-so, yeah, you know what they're doing? They're becoming a stumbling block. If you have to bring them up for a recommendation or an example, Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. And he said, if I eat something or I drink something that causes you to stumble, I ought to stop it. You know what? I was involved in something a little while ago. And one of the men came up to me and said, Pastor, that thing that we're doing, the thing we're involved in, da-da-da-da-da, it's kind of giving me a little problem. I said, good. Okay, brother, I'm glad you told me. It's over. We're not going to do that anymore. Why? You say, well, you're doing something bad? No, I'm not doing anything bad. You're doing something evil? No. Were you doing something immoral? No. I was a stumbling block to somebody, and somebody just did not see it the same way I did. So instead of me saying, you know who you're talking to, I'm the pastor. I didn't say that. You know what I said? Great, let's not do it. And God gave me perfect peace about it, and things are fine. Now, somebody sees you doing something. Are you a stumbling block? When you drink, hey, let's go over to your house today, and we'll have some coffee. And let me go over to the refrigerator and get some cream. I've been in a guy's house where he says, I'll get it. Why? Have you got some pudding in there I shouldn't see? Hey, don't worry about me. What about God? What about God? Look at 1 Corinthians 11. I just said this verse. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You have a responsibility to be a witness. If you're a deacon today and you drink, I want your resignation. If you're a trustee and you drink, I want your resignation. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you drink, I want your resignation. What do you want? I want you to get right with God. If you're teaching in the master's club and you drink, I want you to get right with God. If you're in the teen ministry or having some influence where some kid, somebody can see you, your family can see you, you better watch out for your witness. You have a responsibility to be a good witness. Oh, well, it's kind of my business. You know what? You don't have business anymore. What you have is God. Amen. And God says everything you do should be for His honor and glory. Brethren, I got to keep bringing this up. I keep hearing, well, Brother so-and-so and Pastor so-and-so, and you know, I'm not talking about anybody near me. I'm Brother so-and-so in this state, or Brother so-and-so in that ministry over there. He thinks, well, if it's his problem and his sin, how come I have to be confronted with it and you come and bring it to me? They become a stumbling block to you. Look at Isaiah 55.
Isaiah 55. Look at verse 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, I'm not sure about gourmet jelly beans or Twinkies. That might be a verse against it. But I know for sure, if you spend your God-given money on booze, you're not honoring and glorifying God. You know what I heard? And this happened a long time ago. One of our people was working at a checkout at a supermarket. It wasn't even Wegmans. And they said, Pastor, we saw a so-and-so family coming in our line, my line, and then they shifted to another line. Why? There was something in there that shouldn't have been in there. And it came in bottles. And it had seals on it. And they were spending their money on something that they shouldn't have. Don't do that. Don't waste your... Listen, some of your kids need something, or something for the house or whatever, and you're spending your money on that. Well, it isn't a lot, but it's an example for your kids. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. And in verse 12, here's a verse I was telling you a little while ago, 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me. You know what? I can drink and still go to heaven. I can smoke and still go to heaven. What would you do if after the service tonight, I'd just kind of stand around here and I'd sit around here and I'd light up? Well, that was a long sermon, wasn't it? Boy, the singing was good, wasn't it, brother? Is that on video or anything? Would you come back to church Wednesday night? You'd be out of here so fast your head would spin. And you couldn't get to a phone quick enough. All things are lawful unto me. I can smoke and still go to heaven. But all things are not expedient. You know what? They're not good for me. The first thing that wouldn't be good for me about smoking or drinking is it's the testimony I give to you. You ever see me doing that? Kill me. Don't even ask me to resign. Just kill me. All things are lawful with me. All things are not expedient. It's not good for the ministry. It's not good for my health. It's not good for the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Neither is overeating. Well, then don't overeat. Neither is watching. Then don't watch that. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. That chalk is terrible, by the way. Don't smoke chalk either. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm going to preach a message next week. Why you should not smoke chalk, all right? There is no temptation, verse 13, taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Don't yield to the temptation God gives you. You know why? He gives you the ammunition, the grace not to.
I have to.
No, you don't. Well, if I'm out with those guys, they're going to... No, you don't. 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 This is March 1st, 1998. I'm telling you at 29 minutes after 8, 29 seconds after 8 o'clock, scared you.
We got to get home for the...
Don't drink. Don't, two words, don't drink. And if you have a temptation, God will give you the ammunition around it. Look at Romans chapter 6. Emily's going out for a smoke, in case anybody... No, I'm just joking. Look at Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Is that right? For you are not under the law, but under grace. Listen, when you got saved, that sin stopped having dominion over you. Are you going to let something lead your life and make you a... Are you, you know what you do when you start those things, drinking and smoking or whatever? You put yourself right back in bondage.
Oh, put the chains on. On my wrist. Put the chains around my ankles. Oh, I'm under bondage.
And that's what you do. That's just a sin that you put yourself under bondage. You should not return to that slavery of sin. Don't let it happen. Look at Romans 12, just a couple of chapters down. Romans 12, look at verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what happens when you drink? You insult the will of God. It's not the will of God. And you're thumbing your nose at God because it's not the will of God that you get involved in that. God says, I want you to have a reasonable service. Serve. Reasonable service. Listen to me. A reasonable service. And you're insulting God when you're involved in that. Look at this one, and we're almost through. Matthew 7. And I'm going through these as fast as I can. Reasons to abstain from alcoholic beverage. Matthew 7, look at 14. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. God's talking about gates. In fact, if you look at the verse before, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. When you don't drink, you draw others to your straight way of life. Hey, what's different about you? Well, I'm saved. Well, what else? Well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't carouse. Well, I notice you're different. All those other guys are in trouble, and they're doing this, and they're having that. You don't do that. That's your testimony. And you know what? When you draw them to you, you have an opportunity to say, here's a reason. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't because I've got strength and I've got willpower. No, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of Him. Look at Ephesians. Or 2 Corinthians, that should be 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know why you shouldn't drink? You stop hanging around with the crowd that does. stop hanging around the crowd that does. Come out from among them and be separate. And, yeah, but after that, we always go out to, well, stop doing it. And if you're doing it, you're hanging around with the wrong crowd. Yeah, but they're awful nice. Remember the smooth words, the oily words I told you about this morning? Watch out. This is a real important one. Look at Ephesians 5. Well, we know what Ephesians 5 is about, husbands and wives. That's right. Look at Ephesians 5:33. Why should you stop drinking? Why should you not drink? Why should your lips never touch it? Ephesians 5, look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Husbands and wives, loving and reverencing one another. Look at the next verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know why you ought to stay away from that poison? For the family's sake. Oh, you know what I want for my kids? I want them to see me in an alcohol rehab. You do? No, you don't. Well, why should I quit? For your family's sake. You don't stop thinking about yourself, at least think of your family. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, the last verse in that chapter. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's a sin to drink. And when you drink, you're a menace to society and the society around you, in your home, and on the highway. I bet Brother Dean could get up and give us a testimony about drunk drivers. And I bet it wouldn't be good. I bet he could tell us about people that have been taken out of their cars, dead. Maybe they haven't been drinking, but somebody that hit them was. I bet we all know somebody, somewhere, that was affected by drunk drivers. You know what frightens me? I don't ever plan on touching booze. And if my kids drank, I'd kill them. Oh, you know what I mean. But there might be somebody out there that doesn't see it God's way and is selfish and wicked and miserable and hits my kids and kills them. Don't tell me booze is okay. It's not. It's of the devil. Now, we can't control them out there. Oh, we can have all kinds of bumper stickers and we can have all kinds of billboards. But listen, we can control what happens in here and we can control what happens in our homes and we can control what happens under your own roof, mom and dad, husband and wife, family. You say, well, what do I do? Do what Daniel did. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart. He didn't want to do what the king wanted him to do, to eat what the king wanted him to eat. He said, I'm going to purpose in my heart, and I'm going to do right. I've given you this handout today. You can take it home, and you can look at it and pray over it and study it and mark it in your Bible. But you know what I want you to do tonight? I want you to purpose in your heart that you won't ever mess with that garbage. Wouldn't it be great tonight if we all purposed in our heart? You say, Pastor, I don't drink. You don't drink today. Do you know what can't happen to you, Christian? You can't go to hell. You know what else? Nothing. You can do everything else. You say, I'll never drink.
And I don't even have to protect myself. I just never will. You don't know what you'll do tomorrow. Why don't you purpose in your heart today that you won't?